What is up, TPN? It is I, Matt, and Adam. That's right, Matt's here, so am I. Said that backwards. But we're both here.
Yeah, that's Adam. I'm Matt.
We're both here. Welcome. A rarity, yeah. Where we both get to chat with you, because we had, I wouldn't call it pressing information, but something that was on both of our minds to get out to the masses. As we step forward through what has been a rough last 16 months for a bunch of folks, and there's been a pretty intense recovery in the airline industry at the time of this recording. And we thought, okay, what's going on with folks who are on the cusp of wanting to get on with an airline or move to the next phase of their career? We're like, you know, has it been kind of swept aside as to what the next phase is for them as they wait out, whether it's, you know, sitting on active duty or they're at the regional or whatever the case might be, or, you know, they've got some other job. Or they're just brand new starting out, but they want to get a leg up, because this is going to probably go pretty fast if we know anything about the airline industry. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, and folks keep coming up to me all the time and asking, what can I be doing right now? I don't leave active duty for 5 years or however long it might be. What can I be working on? So usually there's about 10 things that come to mind right away that you can be doing regardless of what stage you are, whether you want to show your cards, it doesn't matter. And yeah. So that's why I pinged in. I'm like, we just got to do a quick podcast on this and
yeah, totally,
and get it out this week, just so it's floating around in people's brains.
Yeah, fresh in their minds. So to caveat and warn everybody, the first three are blatant propaganda for three of our sponsors. And the reason they are is because they do a fantastic job and we love them. We love the folks that run the organizations that they represent and the material that they produce. And the other thing is Matt and I are big believers in investing in yourself to invest in your career, whether that's going to be an airline pilot, you're doing something entrepreneurial or just whatever it is. If you have a hobby, you can try to half-ass it, but sometimes, most times, it doesn't work out very well. So we found that if you put a solid investment in, whether that is even just a couple of bucks or just time, we found that some of these companies that we represent all of us as the network do such a great job. We were like, you know what? We're going to put them out there to make sure people know that they're available and that they should start using stuff early on instead of waiting until they get the call to go to their interview. And we have plenty of folks on both sides of this fence that can tell you that a pound of preparation is worth 1,000 pounds of emergency procedure training. So Matt, why don't you start with number one there?
Yeah, but I just want to add one thing about the sponsors. Blatant promotion, maybe, but there's a reason that these guys are our sponsors, is because they have the heart of the teacher and they genuinely want to help out TPN members. So don't read anything into that other than just these companies are great at what they do and they're looking to help you get done what you should be doing. So. Yeah.
For sure.
Number one is Cockpit to Cockpit by Mark Helmahoe. You've heard him on the podcast here a bunch. It's an awesome book. It's short. It's funny. It's genuine, but it's disingenuous with pilot humor and all that sort of stuff. And it really gives you the high level 30,000 foot view of things that you wish you had known coming out of pilot training, just in terms of how to prepare and what to plan for. And to me, it's the number one, because everything that follows is basically out of the pages of that book. So even if you completely forget everything we say, you can go read the book and get a lot of that.
Yeah, you can start doing that today, whether it's day one of pilot training or it's you've got your retirement. You just started what do they call that? That leave before you retire. That one.
Terminal,
man. Guard guy, man. I don't have that. I won't get that. So that, number one, for sure. You can start that now. Number two, this is also if almost hand in hand with Cockpit to Cockpit is, getting your logbook together. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. We suggest, and a big sponsor of TPN, the podcast, everything that TPN's all about is Millkeep. And we've had them on the podcast a couple times, the founders, but more than that, they put together the easiest system that you can do to get your military records transcribed with you doing almost no work, which for you can call yourself a busy pilot. I'd like to call myself a lazy pilot. I don't want to do that. Plus, I don't want to have transcription errors. One of those can cause a major headache when you filter it back out and you look at that total number at the bottom and you're going, "What? Well, how the hell did that get there?" So get your logbook done one way or the other. I and Matt highly suggest Millkeep. And we also have a lot of friends who've used Millkeep because Millkeep wasn't around when we started doing this stuff. But a lot of people have. Matt's got a bit of a technical error there he's got to fix. As soon as he gets back, he can chime in on the criticalness of not only your logbook, but having something nice and organized and complete so you feel confident when you do go into your interview. And the nice part about Millkeep is instead of doing it one time out in the beginning and then having to pay again and again and again, like some other logbook services out there, it's a one-time fee, and then you just keep updating as you go along. And the day that you your time is to get hired by an airline, you get all your stuff ready to rock and roll.
And the nice thing is they started out just doing Air Force harm records, but they have quickly reconfigured their software to work for Army and Navy as well. So it's pretty awesome the way it does the optical text recognition and or optical character recognition. I'm not sure what the term is, but essentially, you put a PDF in and it spits numbers back out at you that you can validate, and it tries to help you find those errors and do that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of ways to do this. Millkeep just happens to be our favorite, and Chris and Kim are amazing, and they will help you along the path. So take a look at that.
Yep, hit them up, and if you need any more research, just ask on TPN, either in any one of the groups, just ask, "Hey, what does anybody think about Millkeep?" And you're going to get a bunch of very positive and solid supportive answers. If you have specific questions about maybe your situation might be, you know, a little bit different, they've got a product that can support you.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of business owners, founders who are huge supporters of TPN, and honestly, we sought Chris out at Milt ATP because, number one, you're not just buying your ATP. His whole business is getting military pilots their ATP in an airplane that he is fully aware you're not going to go spend a ton of time in a professional capacity flying Senecas, which is what you do your ATP training in. But he knows the mistakes you're going to make before you make them. His team is awesome, and they really get you through that process. And then now, if you still need your ATP, the CTP is the prerequisite for that. And I just talked to Chris this morning, kind of just making sure I had my facts straight. And apparently the CTP course, which is basically 4 days of academics and then 3 days of sims, is completely, it doesn't expire. So you could do that anytime. There are no prerequisite hours or anything like that. It is the prerequisite to take the ATP written test, and that does have a 5-year validation date. So you have to complete your ATP practical in that time. But give them a call, Milt ATP. They will help you along the process. And plus, they're doing the CTP program where they're doing the remote course, where they're traveling around doing the CTP in different cities around the country. For instance, we just talked about it. Tampa is going to be the CTP for July. So, and then they're going to be going up to Norfolk, and then they're kind of bouncing all over the place. And I think we were talking about Spokane in November. So Jacksonville and Destin were the first couple, and then this is a totally new program. And as they get approved by the FAA, they're coming to you. So no excuse, just get it done, because that's a week-long course that there is never going to be a convenient time to do it.
Nope.
And if you can do it in a city near you, all the better.
And let me give you just a quick example of why that's a good idea to get that done. When I was leaving my reserve job for my guard job, I was leaving without a full-time employment opportunity in the guard. So I was just going to bum it. And I, as we affectionately call a guy who sits around and tries to make pay by working odd jobs around the guard and trips, I got a job offer for a contract company, and I had applied at all these different places, and I hadn't heard anything back. And the first thing they asked me was, "Do I have an ATP?" And the second thing they asked me was, "Is my security clearance valid?" And had I said no on the first one, which is funny, I said yes, because the day I got asked that to come up and interview was the day that I was getting, the day before I was getting tested for my ATP. So I'm, you know, I said, yeah, it's good. I'm good. So had I not been able to say yes, they wouldn't have interviewed me. So that was it. They told me that. They said, yeah, if you don't have your ATP, we can't interview you. So, or we're not going to waste our time. So what the suggestion is you may not get the job that you want tomorrow with an ATP, or you may not even need it tomorrow. But once you have it, it's done. You never have to do it again. It doesn't have an expiry date. So you validate it, you get it done, you get your ATP knocked out, written, all that stuff. You clear that, because that is a mess. Once you're done that, after these three hurdles that we just talked about, because honestly, Mark and cockpit to cockpit, that's not a hurdle. That's just kind of your eye-opening experience. The next two are probably, of this whole list, are your biggest hurdles. Or they're the most challenging obstacles, if you want to call them that. I just say they're the two biggest things that you have to get done. And they can be the most time-consuming. They can also be the most daunting. So the rest of them are just administration stuff. Logbook stuff sounds like administration, but when you're trying to compile it and figure all that stuff out, it's challenging. That's why Milt Keep is so good at that. And then the whole ATP thing, Matt and I hammered that. So jumping into the fourth thing, and this one is so boring, but it's so important. And people can
tell. And everybody leaves it to the last second. Last second, and these people are not quick.
Yeah, this is horror stories compound from this. So it's your transcripts, your college transcripts. For those of you who are
in high school.
Yeah, for some jobs, it's high school. I think I had a set of high school transcripts, and all they wanted to see was a copy of them, which was great. But my college transcripts, I had to get those mailed and all that stuff sealed and
They want the official copy.
Official copy.
Yeah.
So, and my university, Marquette University, was very fast, which was amazing, right? I was very lucky because I only had a month and a half. Now, I have talked to people who've gotten them the day before they were heading out for an interview, or had them actually mailed, said, mail them to the hotel I'm staying at. I'll overnight them. I'll pay a hundred. I don't care. The big thing is you don't need, there's no timestamp on it. So go get, if you think you're going to interview at five airlines. Now the universities can be real funky. That's the other thing is go, I need as many official copies of transcripts as you'll allow me. Your registrar's office will allow me. So call them and start that process now. That's another one that you can do tomorrow. But again, the other pieces in both Matt and I's mind is much more important. You could save this one and to get the other two knocked out. And then it's an administration, what would you call it? Obstacle course or maze that you got to get through for some of this. Some universities are really easy to work with. Marquette was, I know others that are not so easy. And honestly, I have no idea what the Air Force Academy would be like, or the Naval Academy or West Point to get your transcript. Okay. So,
cause the biggest thing that I found is they'll email you a copy all day long, but that's not an official transcript. Nope. And some of these airlines, depending on who you're applying to, if I remember correctly, they wanted an actual official transcript.
Yep.
Sealed in the envelope. So what I personally did, and this is my recommendation whenever I'm talking to someone, is get maybe 10 copies. If they'll do that many, usually they will, like $3 a piece or something like that. Spend $30, get 10. Open one, so you have one that's open for your records that you can reference as you're filling out your application, which we'll talk about next, spoiler alert, and have one open copy for yourself, and then you've got a bunch of sealed ones that you can send to whoever needs them and take them to whatever interview. Now, granted, I still have 8 unopened official transcript copies, so you know you probably won't use them, but I'd rather have them and not need them than sit there with a blank stare on my face and try to describe why I didn't have that.
Yep. So. I totally agree.
Cool. All right. Number 5 on our list. Yeah. This was probably the biggest thing that I stressed over and procrastinated. And there's all sorts of things that feed into this, but it's your application and your resume. So resumes are relatively easy. I think most guys have this nowadays. But doing airline apps, pilot credentials, or whatever other system, that is a process. And it's not just sit down a weekend and knock it out. There's information that you don't remember, people that you need to contact, dates that are not going to make sense. So, you know, get a copy of your EQIP, your security clearance, and that has a lot of the information that you've dug through in the past, like where you lived and who you knew you during that time and what their phone numbers are. But almost guaranteed, a lot of it's not going to be current. You want to make sure that this stuff is as accurate as humanly possible, because they're asking for it for a reason, because they potentially want to contact these people. So, and then, you know, in keeping with that, kind of we're grouping resume and application together, mostly because Charlie Venom and his team at Checked and Set is actually our number five. You have to go get these two documents reviewed by someone who isn't your spouse or your mom or your brother or a friend. Get it looked at by someone who looks at these things all day long. They're going to catch stuff. They're going to help clean it up. Now, granted, some of it is changing happy to glad, but they're going to find things that you had it looked at by 100 different people, and they're still going to find stuff that is just silly errors. Like the dates aren't in chronological order, or there's a 1 month gap in between this residence and that residence back in 2004. Or something like that. So they're really good at catching stuff like that, and it's so worth it, but it's not fast. They're really busy.
Yeah.
And sometimes you will wait a month, maybe 2 months, to get it looked at by someone on the team. And the last thing you want to be is that pilot who has, you know, your poor planning is someone else's crisis. Yeah. And that happens to them day in, day out.
And with that said, there are other, resume preparatory services that are out there, but don't think because they're out there as well that, oh, I'll just go to them. They're not busy. Checked and Set is the busiest. I'll just go to this other one. They're not going to be as busy. You're wrong. They're going to be just as busy because you and everybody else have thought the same thing, and they're just moving down the line. And what do you end up with is you end up, hey, Matt, would you mind checking over my resume? Sure, Adam, can you check over mine? Great. Now we're looking at each other's errors. I think it looks right. I got hired, so it must be fine. That's not necessarily the case. So yeah, Matt's spot on. And that does not tie.
And this is pure administrative.
Yes.
Just get it right. Make it clean. It doesn't, I mean, you're not going to have the opportunity to write the Library of Congress here and, nope. And you know, describe everything. You just want it clear, succinct, and correct.
Yeah. And really. These, some of these, as we've gone on here a little bit, they're not necessarily in the order of merit or when you would do them, because you may not fill an application out for a while. But with that said, and I want to caveat here, I'm a big believer in fill your applications out early and often, much like I say, cancel early, cancel often, but fill your application out early and often. And the reason I say this is, if you're at, let's say you want to get hired at United or insert airline here, but we'll pick United because they're on airline apps. So that's a nice, easy one to talk about. If you fill out.
And they're hiring right now.
Yeah. That's another good point. If they're, if you filled out your application 3 years ago and you show that you updated it monthly with your flying hour your flying hour totals and what you've done in your career with job changes and whatnot, and you've been doing this consistently for 3 years, and now you're eligible to actually get hired by United. So maybe you started this as a co-pilot. They know that you're seriously interested in coming to work for them. Nobody spends 3 years messing around on an application unless they actually want to work there. So I'm a big believer in, hey man, if you've got a job, you're a Air Force lieutenant who just finished up pilot training, and now you just finished up the B course or RTU. And now you're a training clerk in the 349th at McConnell. You know what? Start your application. I mean, there is no law that says you can't do that. And by the way, once you have it started, it's way easier to go back and basically, hey, I moved from here to here. Update your application. And you just go through and you have a nice timeline of everything that you've done. So then when you are eligible to get hired, all that stuff is super accurate to the date. It's fresh in your mind what you are doing. You're not conjuring up, what did I do when I was working in the Stanovel shop at Luke? None of that stuff exists. It's all right there. So the earlier, the better on that. And that flows rightly into the next piece here. And the whole reason The pilot network was started when I was sitting in my little bee hut in Afghanistan, was how to get letters of rec and what to do. So this is another process that you are asking something of somebody else. And now you're asking it for free. So, which is totally fine. All pilots want to help other pilots, but getting those letters of recommendation, super critical, but I want to go over three. There's three points that I want to make. And I could go on a long tirade about this, but I'm going to make three quick points on this. Number one is start very, very early. And by that, I mean, pick out the people that you would like to ask for letters of recommendation. Realize that if you haven't flown with them or they don't know you very well, it's probably not somebody you want to ask a letter of recommendation from. I'm not saying you can't. I have, and I know other people who have when they first started out. But I'm saying that if you get rejected on a letter of recommendation or turned down politely, realize that they may have a reason for that. Now, that goes right in another two. Number two, as you start early, and you pick these people out, you need to give them time. You also need to give them ammunition on what to write. That means you need to write the letter of recommendation for them. People think that that sounds ridiculous, or why would I do that? It's their recommendation. You're right, it's their recommendation, but they're not going to remember a lot of the stuff that you do remember. I have mentors that I've flown with that I remember tons of stuff about them that they taught me, that I learned from them, that they have no earthly recollection of anymore. That's just the way this goes. Us old guys forget what we were able to inspire younger guys to do, much like the old guys that inspired us to do a bunch of stuff barely remember who we are nowadays. So that's the way this the natural order of this works. So you need to write an outline or something to tell them. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, no, I always tell people, if you want a letter of recommendation from your mom, she will write an excellent letter of recommendation. She'll remember everything, but she'll be talking about the time you peed the bed did whatever else that was stupid. That's not what we're looking for here. We're looking to get a letter of recommendation from professional people who are busy, who run across a ton of people. And let's just be honest, most of us are just not that special. And we need to help them out a little bit and give them some stuff to work with.
Yep. And that number three, and this is like the final, there's a bunch of other stuff that I could interject here, but these are the three main points that I wanted to get across on this one because it's so near and dear to my heart. And number three to me is the thank yous. After you're done asking and they've written a letter of recommendation, send a thank you. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. A handwritten note, if you have their address, is amazing. An email with a thank you of some, maybe, I don't know if you want to get them something, that's up to you. But if you have their address, especially if they give you their address for an application that you fill out, writing a handwritten thank you card saying, I really appreciate this letter of recommendation, is going to go a long way to verifying exactly why they wrote that letter to you. I know it sounds silly and it sounds old school, but you know what? Old school analog sometimes beats new school digital all the time. Not all the time, but most times it does. So the letters of rec thing, there's way more stuff I could do. We could do a whole podcast that's based on letters of recommendation, and maybe we will someday, but those are the three things that you need to hit up. It's, you know, good military boy. Three things that you need to do there is ask early and make sure that you're asking the right people, supply the information that they need to write you a good solid letter, and then say thank you when you're done.
Those things are a huge pain in the butt to write when you write them for someone else. So
yeah,
make that, take away some of that pain if you can.
Yep.
All right. Number seven on the list. This is low hanging fruit, if there ever was one, in no specific order. Get your radio operator's license, the FCC radio operator's license. This thing, if you're strictly a military pilot and have never flown professionally, this could potentially be the first time you've ever heard of this thing. And honestly, I don't even remember how much it cost. It was like $35. It was like a little quiz or test or something. It was a paperwork exercise, and it was harder to find the website than it was to just knock it out and get it done. But it's one of those things, as a first officer, you have to carry with you all the time, 100%. And we'll put the website in the show notes if I can find it. I would have to go hunting for it. So I will go hunting so you don't have to, but links to all this stuff will be in the show notes.
Yeah. Boom. I love that. Low hanging fruit will help everybody out with that one. Now, speaking of low hanging fruit, this is low hanging fruit number two, and you can do that you can do this one today as well as that one. You may have to update this depending on your proclivity. Yeah,
this one when you're getting your transcripts.
That's doing your driving record. All right. Now, I don't actually remember how I did this. I remember calling a couple police stations to see where I thought I might have a ticket. And they're like, yeah, dude, we got nothing. So now there's the national driver record that you can go through, and then you can go back to different counties and they have slightly different variations of this. But the national driving record, that's your first stop to start checking for speeding tickets or any moving violations that you had. And then also when you do that, that starts to be your prepping the storyline of why you got one. Most of us were dumb and young and foolish. I can speak freely about a guy I knew who got hired at a major airline. He had several, I think somewhere in the order of 8 to 10 speeding tickets. Dude was a race car driver. He was a race car driving kid, and he had some skill. Funny part was when he was sitting on his board, the interviewer was a racer. That was a hobby thing, and that's all they talked about. And that's, he can point to the fact that he got 10 speeding tickets or whatever is the reason he got hired, because he had something to talk about racing wise, or that would have never gotten brought up in conversation. So with that said, you're also starting to prepare. Okay, I screwed up, and you got it. That it's not like you're coming up with a story of why. It's reflecting as to, hey, why was I such an idiot when I was a kid, or what was causing me to do these kind of things, and why am I different now? And if I'm not, maybe I should start to change my attitude so I can end up in this professional organization that I want to be part of.
And it's no joke. You block out some of these things. It's such a minor inconvenience when you're in high school or college. You basically pay the $50 or whatever, and the ticket goes away and you never think about it again. And honestly, the systems, the databases where these things are stored are not great, and they purge or they say there was nothing or whatever. I had a ticket back from college that I completely forgot about. Minor speeding ticket, no big deal. I took care of it. I completely forgot about it. And then I found the actual ticket that I had saved in a file somewhere. I can pull it out and look at it right now, and I still don't remember it happening. It's just one of those things. That might be a good call to your mom. Be like, do you remember me?
Remember me
doing anything
dumb,
getting in trouble?
I'd probably say yeah.
All right, so here's some pretty easy stuff, especially if you're still in active duty, because that information is easily accessible to you. Probably guard or reserve too, but your Form 8 history. Get all your Form 8s, and while you're at it, I'll just lump OPRs in with that too, is kind of look back at all of your check ride history all the way back into pilot training, and maybe even before that, if you had any civilian time before that, and take a real good hard look at any less than Q1s or less than 100% pass rates that you got, even on phase check rides and pilot training. They want to know about that stuff. In some cases, it's just better to over report here, and just talk about, you know, what happened and what you learned from it and what you're going to do in the future to help people avoid that, or what you have done, you know, as an instructor. No one gets through an aviation career with a spotless check ride record. And if you do, that's actually a bigger red flag than if you have one or two of these on there. So
yeah,
just get all that and all your ducks in a row, and be knowledgeable on what your history is and be able to talk to it.
Same goes for our RJ brethren and folks who on the civilian side, is especially those who went to like Part 141 school where they've got phase checks as well, is having that stuff. Because honestly, dude, just like the speeding ticket thing, you can forget about a phase check that you busted because it doesn't mean anything, right? Well, if they want to know, hey, have you any check ride you've ever failed, whether it's a legitimate Form 8 check ride or an FAA check ride, or a phase check in some sort of training plan, you want to be forthcoming and honest. So you might tell them, yeah, you know, when when I was doing turns around a point, I failed that, or, you know, whatever the case is. But man, did I learn something from that? And you can take a lot away from all that stuff in the past. So whether you are civilian only, military only, or combination of hybrid of both, knowing that history to go all the way back, it'll also, where, in case you haven't figured out the theme of this, it's like building your application and your resume. And once you have a more complete picture, you have a more complete person that you can put out in front of the interview panel that you're going to face. And I think that flows perfectly into the last one. Now, mind you, these are just the 10 steps that Matt and I came up with quickly. There's no kidding. Probably we could jump on
that you could do right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're getting ready to apply or 10 years from it.
And we could probably go off. I know we could go off tangents in each one of these. And this one, this one's a big broad brush. We're not going to get specific here. It's just interview prep. Now you could start this tomorrow if you wanted to. I say do your research first. Pick a company that you want to go with. There's a bunch of them out there. Everybody is kind of brought the standard up. For a while, that wasn't the case. There was Emerald Coast was kind of the major player for everybody. And a lot of other companies have really risen, and they've kind of focused on specific airlines to prep. Now, there's some airlines who say, we don't want to see that. You know, we don't want to see you robots coming in here or whatever. What I say is you find somebody who you're going to work with who's going to make you a better communicator for not just the day that you're interviewing, but the process leading up and then after that. And for those of you out there who think I'm full of horse manure, you'll know that if you knew me before I did my interview prep and you knew me after, I learned a lot of stuff about how to listen, but listen intently and listen closely and be able to pick up on things out of somebody almost instantly. Whereas before I was kind of listening to say, okay, can I interject, get my opinion across? Nowadays, I don't really care because I don't really have an opinion on much except for sports, and that's about it. So what I'm trying to say here is do your research, take your time, but you can start doing that today. There's everybody in TPN's got an opinion on what is the best interview prep service. In fact, I know one guy who will say it's himself. Like, yeah, I didn't do interview prep. However, he's full of it because he did. He read books on it. He studied online. He looked at all this different stuff. He did interview prep. He just did it differently than anybody else. I'm not saying that you have to go with a company, even though I highly suggest it, no matter how great of a public speaker or used car salesman you think you are. It's very beneficial to go with somebody who's objective and has seen 1,000 people before go through the same process. But if you don't want to do that, that's fine. However, you need to prep for your interview, and that means there's plenty of books. There's a lot of written material out there. There's audio course, all this stuff. So you don't necessarily need a formalized training course, even though, again, I highly suggest you do that. But if you're going to start getting ready for an airline interview, the best day to do that is immediately, and that's start reading the material, reading the books out there. And I'm not talking about trying to memorize interview questions. That's a waste of time. Because I promise you, as a guy who's been through a lot of stuff, worked on the consulting side of this, I can ask you 5 questions you've never heard before and make you look like a fool no matter how many questions you've studied if you don't know what and how to answer a question. And the way you do that is you study how to be a better communicator, not just answers in a book. So that's my 2 cents on the interview prep side. And that's kind of the 10 things. Matt, do we want to recap these 10 so people aren't at the end here? They can just go, too long, didn't listen, and I just listened to the last 30 seconds. I got what I needed.
Then you just skip to the end. Yeah. So I'll just throw my 2 cents on the interview prep.
Yeah.
So we throw that out as a generic term for, as Adam said, preparing for your interview, whatever that looks like. But here's the thing is if you step into an environment that is designed to be somewhat stressful, and no matter how much they set you at ease or, you know, how much fun you have with it, the bottom line is you're there because you want that job, probably, hopefully, and you're going to be a little bit stressed. And this just gives you an opportunity to chair fly, practice, put your thoughts in order, and it forces you to sit down and formalize some of the things that you don't want to just be figuring out on the fly. I mean, bottom line, I don't care where you go or how you do it or what process or what company, whatever. Go in there, be humble, learn something. Guaranteed you'll actually enjoy it. And there will be something that you get out of it that will carry you through the rest of your life, whether it's this job, the next job, or, you know, some exec position somewhere. Who cares? So, all right. So just to recap, and again, you know, we'll put it in the show notes, links to everything here. Cockpit to cockpit is important because it gives you the big 30,000 foot view, broad. It's funny. It's a short book for a dumb dumb like me. who doesn't read so fast. And Mark is a great writer and a great friend and a sponsor of the show. So go check Mark out.
And then next is get your logbook done. And we prefer with Millkeep because Chris and Kim rock and they do a great job.
Yeah. And print it out and put it in a pretty binder when you take it
sure.
to your interview. Why not? You know, make it look nice. All right. Number three, get your CTP completed ASAP and then get your ATP knocked out when you're eligible for that. And Chris Kresge and his team at Milk ATP, in our opinion, we went to him and asked him to be a sponsor because we believed in how they do business there. And they know the mistakes you're going to make before you make it, and they'll get you through that relatively stressful box to check pretty quick.
Then college transcripts, official, go get them. Don't wait.
And high school, get it too.
Yep, that's, who cares? Yep.
Number five, resume and application. Start working on them now and get signed up with someone to take a look at them. We recommend Check and Set. They're not a sponsor, but Charlie Venema has supported TPN from the very start, and his team are the best in our opinion.
Yep. Go get your letters of recommendation and do so with the three things in mind. And that being, take your time with folks. They can't always respond right away. So do your due diligence there with, okay, I'm going to send an email and I might not get one back for quite a long time. And then when you do that and they say yes, supply them with material. And then number three, thank them. Thank them, thank them, thank them.
Golden rule applies here.
Yeah,
treat
for sure.
them like you want to be treated when yep. someone asks you to
somebody
write
asks a letter. Because you will. That's going to happen.
Yeah. Number seven, radio operator's license. I don't know what it does or what it authorizes me to do. I would say that facetiously, but go get it. It's required and you have to get it and it never expires. It's quick.
Go check your driving record. Number eight, check the driving record. Whether that's going through your files, like Matt's still got tickets from college in his files, which isn't all that surprising.
I drove a motorcycle back then.
Yeah.
It was really easy to get a ticket.
Start with the National Driving Registry and then work backwards from there.
Mom,
you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised what you come up with. And if you never got a speeding ticket, then I highly suggest not getting one anymore. But weren't you having any fun when you were young? I kind of kid. So, all right. But yeah, go start that stuff now because it can be a slog.
Yeah, I don't know about fun. Everyone's certainly a little stupid when they're young.
I had fun going fast.
All right, number nine, get your check rides, your Form 8s, your phase checks. Do a deep dive and get all your ducks in a row on how your training and check ride history looks like. Be able to talk to it.
And then number 10, whether you go to a professional service or you just start doing the research yourself, it's interview prep. Critical, 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 because if you try to go in unprepped or you try to prep in a way where you want to memorize everything you're going to say, those two options are not going to get you very far. So interview prep, however you believe that is best suited for you, go for it. We suggest finding outside consultant type help. But if that's not how you want to do it, then you figure it out. But I would start now because surprisingly, the more you practice, the better you become. And that is pretty much the summary of all this stuff. The more time and effort you put in now, the less time and effort you're going to have to put in your emergency situation trying to figure out how to get all this done last second. And I think that pretty much wraps up our 10 points of what you can be doing right now to get yourself ready for the next phase of your career, whatever that looks like. And as always, we're always here to help you. Matt, if they want to reach out to us directly, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can email us at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com or you can find us on the socials. We're there.
Always, 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 always. Again, thank you for listening. We hope this podcast finds you well and maybe points you in the right direction if you're a little bit confused on what you should be doing right now. But no matter how that all shakes out for you, and as always, please, please, please do keep that shiny side up in the air. Keep the greasy side closer to the earth. Fly safe, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Yes.